nation under manipulation, brutalization, domination. One nation under. Can't begin to count the loss. Free trade, the new gun is raised. And how many lives did it cost? One nation under assimilation, extermination, annihilation. One nation under.
Welcome back. You're listening to No One Is Legal Radio, part of the Open Conspiracy for Social Change on Off the Hour. We're at 90.3 FM in Montreal and at www.ckut.ca on the web. You were just listening to Blackfire. The track is the title track on their CD, One Nation Under. Blackfire is a band based in Black Mesa in the Navajo Nation. They're two brothers and a sister based in the Navajo Nation in the American Southwest. Before that, you were listening to an interview with Hazel Hill, who is the spokesperson of the land reclamation at Six Nations. It's 5:25, and today is July 11th, 2006. It's the anniversary of the 1990 police invasion at Kanizadagi, the so-called Oka Crisis. On July 11th, 1990, at dawn, police invaded Kanizadagi territory, initially using tear gas and eventually bullets. A gunfight ensued that lasted less than 30 seconds, but really shifted the terrain of that battle. This morning at Kanizadagi, there was a ceremony to commemorate, as they do every year, to commemorate the resistance at Oka, at Kanizadagi. And No One's Legal Radio had the opportunity to talk yesterday with Cantonetta Horn. Cantonetta is a elder from Ganawage territory. She is a writer with Mohawk Nation News. She's also somebody who resisted and was present with her daughters at Kanizadagi in 1990. So we talked with Cantonetta, and she'll be talking about her personal recollections of what happened in 1990. She'll also be talking about her thoughts on so-called Canada Day, as well as her thoughts about the current land reclamation at Six Nations. So we'll be hearing now from Cantonetta. We're with Cantonetta, who is with Mohawk Nation News in the Mohawk territory of Ganawage. She is active in that territory, and she and her family were active in the Oka Crisis of 1990. Welcome, Cantonetta.
Sego, how are you?
Good. Cantonetta, July 11th marks the anniversary of the police invasion at Kanizadage. I'm wondering what reflections you have on the anniversary of that police invasion.
Well, it's 16 years later, and the Mohawks are still targeted, maybe more than ever. And we've had more incursions on our territory since that time, and there have been a lot of threats of invasions on Wasasnake, Tandanega, Wag, and Benazadage. And Benazadage has been invaded again on January 12, 2004. So it hasn't really been settled. It's not abated. And I think the main problem we're having with us that we continue to resist. We're resisting. We're standing on our sovereignty. We're standing on our constitutional jurisdiction, and we just refuse to be beaten into submission. So nothing much has changed. I think that we learned a lot from that, and what's happening up at the Six Nations, we've been able to provide them with our experiences, and so they've been able to deal with their situation by using our experiences, and I think it's helped a lot.
We're going to talk about Six Nations in a moment, but I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit more about 16 years ago, the police invasion, the feelings that you had, what you yourself learned going through through that experience with your family.
Well, the main thing I learned was that the Mohawks will stick together. If one Mohawk community is attacked, the others will come to our aid, and that's how I got involved. I'm from Nawage, and when Benazadage got attacked, we all jumped in and did whatever we could. So I ended up going over there as one of the negotiators. And once I got there, I went by boat actually, and I went through some pretty horrible experiences with the SQ. Between here and Benazadage, we had to go through this channel, and we got stopped. I remember that so vividly. Our boat stopped, and the SQ had their big guns on us, and we pulled us off our boats, and they wanted all kinds of ID, and they kept us there for days. And people were standing on the side clapping when the SQ would mistreat us. And that's probably one of the more vivid memories I have of how much they enjoyed seeing the mistreatment. There are quite a few instances of that. And the ones in Chattagee, the Chattagee people were organized to attack us. Well, that's probably the same thing as what's happening up at Six Nations. But that's another vivid memory I have of being attacked and being threatened that they're going to kill us and threatening my family, my children and the elders and so on. I think that's probably the scariest moment. I think what we realized that the government was finding people to go in there and instigate these attacks on us. So probably there is an element out there that can be instigated to start rioting and attacking us. And I guess we always are mindful of that. We always remember that. My daughter was, don't forget, the army was there too. We had thousands of soldiers there with APCs and tanks and heavy weaponry. And I guess that's pretty vivid in my mind. And the worst thing was my daughter was bayoneted in the chest by one of the soldiers. And that always upsets me when I think about how close it was that I almost lost her. And then my four-year-old daughter was there, and she was trying to hang on to her, and the soldiers were beating us all up. I remember when we came out, it was all beaten up so bad. And we were loaded on these buses and taken over to Farnham. And people were standing along the road. And a lot of them were cheering us. A lot of people actually admired how we stood up and didn't give in. But they kept on calling it a surrender, and it was far from that, because we didn't surrender. When we came out of the treatment center at Gunners and Dogs, we ran into the woods, and then they chased us, and then they grabbed us. They were angry that we wouldn't go into their tent and wave a white flag. That angered them tremendously, and so started to beat us up. And we all got very badly beaten by the soldiers, women, elders, young people, everybody. I remember sitting on the tarmac out at Farnham in the bus, and they wouldn't let us get out of the bus, and it was a hot night, September 26, 1990, and my daughter was bleeding from her chest, and my four-year-old, they wouldn't allow her to be seen by a doctor, and they wouldn't let us get out to go to the bathroom, and we sat in there, and during the night, and it was dark outside. It was like, it was kind of like twilight zone, you know, being stuck out there with soldiers around us, not knowing what was going to happen to us, and not knowing if anybody knew that we were there or anybody cared what was happening to us. I think that's probably some of the things that I really remember vividly and that haunt me. There's been a movie made of it, and my daughter is in it. She plays Susan Oates, the one that was 4 years old at the time. And she invited me to go and see the film. And she said, "Mom," she says, "I'll understand if you don't want to go see it." So I didn't go, and I find it very, very hard to be reminded of that horrific experience we went through.
It's been now 16 years since the police and army invasion at Oka, and there's going to be a commemoration at Kanazadage. I was just wondering if you can describe for our listeners that commemoration, what happens each year, the purpose of the ceremony.
Well, at dawn, we meet in the pines, and we do the Ohan de Variwa Dekwa, which is our thanksgiving to all the natural world. Because that's what we're part of. We are part of the natural world, and we are carrying out the original instructions that we've been given as part of the natural world. We're continuing to do that, and we're just burning tobacco, which is the way that we connect with the natural world, and we just thank all the elements of nature for continuing to look after us and continuing to provide. And we ourselves want to continue to do what we're supposed to do, which is to take care of the plants and the animals on this earth. And so we just remind ourselves of what we came through, and that we survived it, and that we're here to tell other people what happened to us, and to help other people. So I guess that's all it is, really. It's a reminder.
You've already referred to Six Nations, the Land Reclamation Project at Six Nations. I'm wondering if you can draw out some of the parallels that you see between the resistance at Kanazadage and the current Land Reclamation Project at Six Nations.
It's the same thing. It's always a land issue. No matter what, it's always, always going to be a land issue. Because we are tied to the land. We're placed to the land, us and the land, we're one. So anyone that tries to separate us is going to have a very difficult time. We are going to resist. And with the reclamation at Six Nations, it was the same thing. You had developers coming in. They had completely wiped out all the foliage, the trees. It was just like a desert. And they started to build homes for people from Toronto, and this was the last straw, just like in Kanazadage, when they decided to come in and go and put a golf course over the graveyard and the ceremonial site. That was the last straw. They just pushed us so far, and we said enough. And that's what happened at Six Nations. They said, it's enough. We can't have any more of this. This is us. You're attacking us. So they took their ground. They went and they took it back. And now they're in the Ontario government, the Canadian government, they really don't know what to do, because the whole, all of the documentation, everything, is supports what the Six Nations people are doing. And the Six Nations people are joined by all their brothers and sisters from the other territories, but also by many non-Native people who come there and stand beside us and stand with us in solidarity. And I think we couldn't have done what we've done without all these people. And I think a lot of people are starting to feel the same way as we do about saving Mother Earth. I think they're beginning to see that the New World Order, or whatever it's called, that wants to take over the globe and enslave people and steal all the resources, I think a lot of people are beginning to see our side. They're starting to see what we're trying to do, and they're joining us. And that's what we need. We can't do it alone. We need everybody. If you want to stop being enslaved, then join the Indigenous people anywhere in the world and start helping them. Start joining them. And it's not a question of picking up guns. It's not that at all. And it's more. It's probably a realization on your part that what we're fighting for is not just for us, but it's for everybody. It's for all people, all over the world. We're not doing it only for ourselves.
At Six Nations, we're hearing about a negotiation process between provincial government and certain people who are involved in the resistance at Six Nations. We've heard about the buying of the land that's owned by Henko Industries. I'm wondering what your thoughts are about this. We asked a similar question to Hazel Hill, a spokesperson for the Land Reclamation Project at Six Nations. And she talked about learning the lessons from Kanizadage and the crisis back in 1990. I'm wondering what your thoughts are when you hear about negotiations, when you hear about the buying of land by either provincial or federal government.
Well, the land belongs to us. So how can they buy it from Henko? That's what I don't understand. How do they justify that legally? And then to hold it in trust, they're going to dangle it over us until they get what they want. I'm not sure what, you know, I think that the experience we've had in Kanizadage is that they made a lot of promises, but they never kept any of it. And I think whatever they do at Six Nations, they're going to try and do the same thing, try to drag it out as much as they can until people have forgotten. But we don't forget. We'll never forget. How can we forget when we've gone through what we've got? This is a continuum. It isn't just like one group at Six Nations did this. This is all of us. This is all of the Mohawk people, but it's not just us. It's all of the friends and allies and all the people that helped us. I think that we can't let it go. We have to keep on going after it. And then I'm very concerned about how all of the whole thing is being twisted around. And then I'm also concerned that the truth is not coming out in the mainstream, that it's being portrayed as we purport that it's our land. We're not purporting, it is our land. But you see, all of this is twisted around so that the Canadian public is confused. It's very difficult. I don't know how to get this information to the Canadian public. I've tried really hard.
Cantonetta, thank you for sharing your reflections with us today on July 11th, the anniversary of the police invasion at Kanizadage. Thanks.
Thank you very much.